Here we go. This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Still a lot of Patriots. Richard Sherman. Aqib Talib apparently, reportedly, Mike Liss tapped in with the Broncos out there in Denver, says the Pats and Broncos have already engaged, which would surprise me because I think Talib's going to get released and you just sign him for nothing as a free agent. Why would you give anything up? I'd be stunned if they give him his whole contract.
Well, it's because he says there's no rush to move Talib because none of his remaining contract is guaranteed until the 53-man rosters are set on September 1st.
So Denver can slow play it.
Yeah.
Denver can say, right, boy, Denver's got him. So that's interesting. They cut him on September 1. His market's much different than as if they cut him right now.
Where Sherman is going to be out there as of next week.
Well, okay. I don't know. Maybe if you're the Patriots, you just engage to let Sherman know you have other options. You know, I'm throwing crap against the wall. But to me, if you're Denver, there's no way the Patriots are making the deal. There's no way. They know he's going to be released.
Okay, so there's that. There's, any NFL free agency stuff, Patriots stuff, that's mostly it. We have Bruins tonight. You have the David Backes suspension. I know people are interested in that. We talked about Brad Marchand and his goal-scoring output the last 3 years. It's right up there at the top of the league. Got some Celtics stuff. The Ringer, Kevin O'Connor, The Ringer, says LeBron has a list of teams next year he's going to. Sixers, Rockets, Cavs, and Lakers. Your thoughts there? So it's all on the table with you and your calls, I promise. The whole final hour. We'll go right to them right now. John in Dorchester, lead us off this hour. What do you got?
Hey, how's it going, guys? So I'm just trying to open up the possibility of us maybe, you know, trading Gronk away because he's injury prone. He's probably going to get hurt this year because he didn't get hurt last year. We can wheel him for probably a first round pick, if not, you know, add to our linebacker core.
Okay. I'm not sure what you get for Rob Gronkowski. I mean, supreme talent. It should be a first round pick, but what if a team looks at it and says he's only got 1 or 2 years left and he's a tremendous injury risk?
What if a team looks at him and says, why would I trade some for a guy who might retire?
And right.
That too.
I mean, to me, this is the one logical explanation for why Gronk is playing it the way he's playing it, is that Patriots can't trade him now. Can't trade him. What are you going to do? I mean, if you're going to acquire Gronk, don't you want some assurance that he's going to play and that you're going to have him for a little while?
So why wouldn't Rob Gronkowski want to be traded if the new team's going to pay him?
Well, he's under contract for 2 more years, right?
Correct. Yeah.
At 8 and 9?
But the whole premise here
is. So what if someone is willing to take him on at 8 and 9? But he, if a new team is willing to pay him, what if it's a crap team?
So then that's that, but.
I mean, if you're a guy like him, you want to have some say in where you're going, don't you?
Yeah.
And look at what Belichick has done historically with guys that he's butted heads with over contracts.
Oh, yeah, see you later. But
Siberia.
Gronkowski's not going anywhere. Kraft won't let it. I've told you this. Just like Kraft wasn't going to allow Brady to go anywhere, he's now not going to allow. This is the slippery slope of the owner getting involved. But this, so here we are. It makes no sense to re-sign Tom Brady and not bring back Rob Gronkowski. It makes no sense to bring back Tom Brady and not re-sign Nate Solder, although I think that might happen. Because I think Nate Solder's number is going to be prodigious. But we'll see. I don't think Gronkowski being traded is in the cards. It might have been. It's just not now. Joseph in Plymouth. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, fellas, thank you for taking my call. Try to be as brief as possible. Look at it. It's amazing that we're talking Patriots football, huh? We're on the precipice of the opening day with Red Sox and everything else that we have going on. Celtics, Bruins, unbelievable. However, that being said, this thing with the Patriots started back in September. I called it, check all your tapes. Belichick has lost his stuff because he brought in Gilmore, he brought in Gillespie, he brought in Burkhead. All that money, fresh money, new money going to people that haven't done the Patriot way. He divides the locker room on purpose because he hires half the new guys coming in, keeps the old guys that are the soldiers, the real bulwarks, the real team. This is our team.
I got you, Joe. Hey, Joe, I'm going to hold you right there. I'm going to just stop you. If he lost the locker room to begin the year, were they 12-4 or 13-3?
13-3, I think.
They were 13-3, number one seed, and went to the Super Bowl. So losing the locker room during the year, if it happened, I think they survived it.
Did they? I mean, I don't know. Can't you say that the Butler thing was a result of Gilmore?
I think he's got a bigger issue going forward, maybe getting guys back on board from the Butler decision and losing the Super Bowl. If you want to tell me right now he's got some fences to mend and some air to clear, yes. During the year, I think that the Gilmore signing absolutely pissed off Malcolm Butler, and it sent Butler going the wrong way. No question about it. Does that mean he lost the locker room, though? He lost Butler.
No, and even well, with right. everything else going on, too, based on the Seth Wickersham piece and everything, they survived everything going on behind the scenes.
No, but he lost Butler. I mean, that's fair.
He lost Butler. So now, look, at running back, it didn't matter, but White also got a contract, right? So they brought in Gillislee, and they brought in Burkett. But the only guy that they had any real allegiance to there was White, whom they drafted, and they signed him. Deion Lewis, they had no allegiance to. So he wasn't a draft guy. I mean, that was a free agent pickup.
Lewis in Texas on the David Backus suspension. What do you think of it, Lewis?
Oh, yeah. Hey, real quick side note. All right, listening to all the conversations, I think if Bill had a choice, he'd probably call it the new ego Patriots. Anyway, the Backus situation, all right, this is my theory. St. Louis, I believe when they were playing St. Louis, he had a similar hit to his head, and nothing happened. And he called out the Player Safety Association. And so when Backus hit the Detroit player, oh, man, they jumped on it like a pit bull on a bone.
Okay, so was that the Duncan Keith hit you were talking about? Or who was it? Who was it who lined him up? When he
Seabrook.
Was Seabrook. The Seabrook hit?
Seabrook got popped, though. He gets suspended during the postseason. I think he sat 3 games. Now, look, there were some other hits along the way, because I Googled it the other day that Backus took. But the Seabrook one was bad. I mean, he took a bad shot there. Of course, he then got up and went after him. And he was like, I mean, you want to talk about instincts taking over. He was like rubber-legged and still going after the guy, which I found to be awesome.
Oh, Backus is tremendous.
But, you know, look, in this one, I'm sorry. The league's changed a lot in even 3 years. And that's when the Seabrook thing happened. They call these things out more now than they ever did. What do you think's going to happen if you hit someone in the head?
The one that just stands out, though, is 884 career games. Never been suspended before, not even fined. Has not even been fined in 12 years in the NHL.
In almost 2,500 hits.
And it feels like he got no sort of deference for that from the league, which is crazy. Nick in the car, Sherman or Tlaib, who do you want?
Hey, guys. I think I'm going to take Sherman all day. I'll be quick, 30 seconds. So, number one, I think he will work really well with Hightower, McCourty, those guys. He has a great football mind. And he'll just allow us, you know, to do things with who's the guy we got over there? Gilmore. You know, also, on your point with Bill, I think, yes, you guys are right. He's ultra paranoid. He wants to crush the competition. And he's just always looking over his shoulder. The NFL is his playground. And I think, you know, he knows he's the greatest ever. He just does what he wants.
And has that gone just a little too far? That's sort of the question. Time in the car, Sherman or Tlaib, who do you want?
Well, what's up, boys? I actually just had a side thought on this whole Seahawks thing. Everyone talking about Sherman leaving and also Bennett just made me think, do you guys think they totally blew the Seahawks window with that young defense? I mean, you're talking about personnel moves. They traded Max Unger, their best center, in a first-round pick, I think, for Jimmy Graham. How'd that work out? I'll listen in the car. Thanks.
So, I don't know. I think...
I mean, they almost had 2 Super Bowls out of the thing.
When you look back at Seattle, you say if they just handed off, they had 2 Super Bowls, and they had a run where for 4 or 5 years, they were one of the best teams in the league. For most everybody else other than you, that's a pretty good run. You're like, did they get everything they could have out of that run? Probably not, but I wouldn't look back at it. If I were a Seahawks fan, I would look back and say you should have handed off on the goal line. And then I think it would have changed. I mean, you may have extended it from there, because I think – Pete, talk about losing a locker room. I think he lost a locker room after that. And it's all just started to slowly unravel from there. And so there it is. Seattle's hitting that reset button. And are you getting shrapnel from it? Sherman, Tlaib, the differences. Who do you want? More on that right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-competitive and Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The league isn't fun anymore, you know. Every other league, you know, you see the players have a good time. You know, it's a game. You know, this isn't politics. This isn't justice. This is entertainment. And they're no longer allowing the players to entertain. They're no longer allowing the players to show any kind of personality, any kind of uniqueness, any individuality, because they want to control the product. Their biggest ploy is that you don't want to be a bad influence to kids. You don't want to be a bad role model. And I can agree with that. But in the same breath, you can't say Budweiser is the official sponsor of the NFL and we're trying to influence kids. So, you know, there's a ton of hypocrisy, but it doesn't matter because we don't control it. Most celebrated part of the of football used to be the violence. They don't care about player safety, I've said this several times, but they do care about paying the quarterback $20 million and him missing a season. You know, they do care about that. So whether they get to say player safety or whatever it is, you know, they're tired of $20 million quarterback sitting on the bench on IR for the whole season.
But there's a, you know, he's trying to save the world. He'll talk your face off while doing it. That is sort of off-putting, which I get. I totally get.
Oh, Bill loves that, doesn't he?
Yeah, but that's just what Bill wants.
Yeah, he wants.
Well, maybe from a company standpoint, there's nothing wrong with someone being socially conscious. But I mean, from
No. I'm all for it. I'm just telling you, Bill Belichick.
Oh yeah, no, he wants nothing to do with that.
No. Save the world on your own time. Yeah, we're here to absolutely.
Yeah,
right? That's what I'm talking
about.
In
the meantime, play cover two and shut up.
Exactly. So like, it'd just be fascinating, you know, if Sherman came here, would he be allowed to do that stuff? You know, it's one thing. Paul Allen is his owner out there in Seattle, who's sort of a weird guy on the – I mean, he's a, you know, gazillionaire. But he's not like – you know, he's not on the committees. He's not he's sort of a recluse. He's a weird sort of shadowy figure. Like, he's not
– he's got that Microsoft money. Owning an NFL team is just like, you know, just something in his portfolio.
Well, no, but it's not just that. It's his personality.
He's a kook.
I don't know if he has Asperger's or something, but he's not like – he's sort of on the fringes of the NFL power structure is what I'm saying. He's not a powerful owner. By choice, he's not a powerful owner. He's not in the mix, doesn't want to be in the mix. So Richard Sherman ripping the NFL like that is one thing. Could Richard Sherman do that if Robert Kraft were his owner, who's on the competition committee, the compensation committee, the broadcast committees, is a top three influential owner in the league? Would that fly with Robert Kraft attacking the league like that?
No, because you're going to get... you know, you'll get blowback from the league office saying, hey, you know, can we slow this guy down? I mean, or Kraft ends up getting squeezed out of some sort of boardroom, and then now he's pissed off because he's never – this is ultimately why Robert Kraft didn't fight the Deflategate thing.
Okay, but to me, this is a fascinating part of the story. Would Sherman come here and keep his mouth shut? Or would he try and save the world and we take on the league? And how would that all fit? And how would he conform? And how would the Patriots bend to – allow for him and his personality? Like, all that I think that would be fascinating. On the field, I think it would be fascinating, too, how Bill would work with him as a football player. Great. But just, we lump Sherman and Tlaib together, but we really shouldn't, because it's just so different. So Sherman there will talk your face off with rationale and reasoning and smart and articulate and well-spoken and all of this and the problems with the league and what they really want. Meanwhile, Aqib Tlaib, you know, will give you something like this.
It was a dirty play by a sorry player. He don't do nothing. He come to the game, don't catch no passes. He come to the game to chop guys from the back. And he got the same agent as me. So when I see his ass in Atlanta, I'm going to beat his ass.
With a play like that, you saw Chris go down, and it turned out bad, but it could have been a lot worse. Yeah. Sure, that really irritated me.
Yeah, it don't matter how it went. He tried to do something dirty, so that's why I'm going to beat his ass.
So, like, they're different. It's a different thing. How about the Crabtree thing? I mean, Murray's talked a lot about that, Jimmy. What do you got on that?
Watch this. Tlaib reaches in,
grabbed a goat chain,
yeah,
and ripped it apart.
Crabtree is in disbelief.
Oh, no, nah, man. He just been wearing that chain all year, man. It just been growing on me. So I said if he wear that chain in front of me, I'm going to snatch it off. So he wore it in front of me, so I had to snatch it off.
What did he say?
Oh, he started crying to the ref. He called for the ref. Ref, he ain't said nothing to me, though.
I mean, the streets and, like, hood life, that's the equivalent of if I pulled down Mass's pants and cut off his plums. Like, that, it's that emasculating. Snatching another man's chain twice?
He just didn't like the fact that he was wearing it?
Yeah, a little too gaudy.
It was growing on him. He says it was growing on me.
Yeah.
See, he's more Belichick's kind of cat, though.
Tlaib?
Yeah. Because Belichick doesn't care if he's ripping Michael Crabtree, or he doesn't care about that. He knows that come game day, Keeb's engaged, and then all I have to do is rein him back.
Yeah, what's the mindset, Jimmy?
Mindset is the win.
I mean,
of course. So,
but Belichick is always like, you know, and not that it's perfect apples to apples, but Rodney Harrison was a, you know, crossed the line a lot. He loved him. He brought Brian Cox in. Another one who was sort of living on the edge.
So Tlaib's more along that mold.
Yes, for sure. Definitely. Whereas, you know, Sherman is more along the Ocho Cinco, you know, talk your face off.
Just talk your face right off your skull, man. For sure. He's trying to save the world.
Martellus Bennett. He's more like Martellus Bennett.
Yes, exactly right.
And so, I mean, Belichick can work with both, but ideally, look, either way, it's not going to last long. I mean, either guy's here for what? Year two?
Rent them. rent both of these guys. You know, I don't. You won't get both, but 1 year, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and move on.
I just think, look, I told you, I would go with Tlaib first. They're going to end up with Sherman because I think all the elements are there. He's coming off an injury. He's going to get released. So the contract's going to be
better,
workable on all sides, and it's probably a short-term thing. It's going to be Sherman.
Okay,
I'm convinced of that.
I even like the way I've always liked Richard Sherman, even though he's, you know, insufferable. He's a little insufferable with his verbosity, and he's, you know, the attitude that can save the world. But I do like him, and I like him for the reason a lot of you hate him, the whole Brady thing and the you mad bro thing. When he came up to Brady after that game and Brady scowled at him and he put it on the internet with the handwritten message, "You mad, bro?" Even the way Richard Sherman described that, I'm with Richard Sherman. When you know what really went down in that game and what that was a result of, listen to this. Here's Richard Sherman on a panel on Fox TV a couple of years after that happened.
You mad, bro?
It's funnier every time I see it.
I think Tom was mad.
He doesn't look very happy.
Look how mad Tom is.
Wow. That's what happens, man. That's what happens.
Tell us what was the scenario that led to that picture, your conversations? What was going on?
Well, Tom Brady is a little more talkative on the field than a lot of people may be led to believe.
Everybody up here is like, yeah, he is.
He's competitive, right?
Yeah. He's incredibly competitive.
He's a great leader.
He's a fantastic leader, and he's a fantastic ball player, I tell you right here. But he does have his fair share of, you know, he came up to me and Earl. During TV timeouts, that's when the TV isn't on anybody. Nobody sees anything. And we're standing there talking about, you know, I think we're game planning, talking about route concepts. And he comes up like, "So who are you guys?" What you mean, who are we?
Oh,
who are you? And he's like, you know, we go back and forth for a little while. Then he looks up at the scoreboard and looks back at us. He's like, "Come see me after this win." So after the game, they didn't win, but I still came and saw him, as I promised, and everybody got mad at me.
It's your fault.
It's my fault.
Yep.
And that's why you asked him why he invited you, and then he was mad, so you asked him, you mad, bro?
Oh, man. I just wanted to know why.
Make sure I get my T-shirt.
Jimmy, that's good right there. So Brady started it. He said, "Come see me after we win." So Sherman went and saw him, and the Pats had lost, and Sherman goes to see him, and Brady's all pissy. And so do you blame Sherman for putting you mad, bro?
No.
Well, look, and to the best of my knowledge,
that was a great little bit by him, I think.
And Brady has never refuted that story, right? I told you, I think Brady respects Sherman. I do. And this goes back to 2014 in the Super Bowl and that, you know, that picture you brought up earlier, Murray, of Brady being on one knee after the win and Sherman going out and extending his hand.
The first one out there.
It was a good moment.
Oh, it was a great moment. Great moment. I mean, to me, you know, again, two of the better guys in the league at their position, two of the great competitors in the league. And after the game, Sherman is pissed off as anybody goes over and shakes a guy's hand. Like, and I think, you know, I think in a lot of ways there's some similarities between those two. So I think on the same side, oh, they would both love it. Don't let him kid you.
So hold on. You are now predicting that Sherman will be here, not Tlaib.
I think Sherman makes more sense based on the parameters of it. And again, I like Tlaib better. To me, Tlaib is like, he's a badass. I love him. But if you're asking me to handicap it, Sherman's coming off of surgery. Sherman's going to get released. Sherman gets to pick where he wants to go, and it's going to have to be a make-good kind of contract, which I think the Patriots will do. And I think that all the elements are there, it'll be Sherman. That's what I think. I really do.
All right, interesting times for the Patriots. Even if it's Sherman at a reduced rate, something's coming in, so something's coming out. That's another thing we've been talking about. You think Brandon Cooks is long for this team? Or Nate Solder is long for this team? What's on the way out? Because usually with the Patriots and most NFL teams, you get something, you got to give something, and something's going to give. What gives on the roster? Well, I promise we'll wrap it up with your phone calls on this and everything else we've talked about today right after Murray's update. Do not go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha he he.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Plays kind of a awkward one-off type of play where he's coming back in the zone, receiving a puck, kind of sees me coming, and I'm going to finish a hit and trying to get around him, and by the end trying to abort the whole thing altogether and just avoid it all. But the decision's the decision. There's, you know, that's the way that the process is currently, and their decision's kind of the decision, and you swallow it.
Ray and Revere on the Patriots. Wrap it up with your calls. Go ahead, Ray.
All right, it's
Ray.
Yeah, listen, I think the Patriots and fans have had it so easy for the last 15 years, and it's Belichick we trust. You know, in the last 2 years, his personnel decisions have become indefensible. And, guys, you know, I really wonder if Kraft isn't over a barrel here because, you know, he gave Bill the keys, and now he's got a problem. I got to go.
Yeah, Ray, you got to go, baby. His personnel decisions have not been indefensible. He mostly hits. Again, last year was a bad year. Dwayne Allen was a bad, you know, I'm not telling you he's perfect. But I think his drafts have been good when he's made the picks. I think
especially in the first round. Yeah,
I mean, again, you mentioned the Chandler Jones trade. That was not a good return.
But he hit on the player.
But with that pick, he traded down and drafted Malcolm Mitchell and Joe Tooney, two guys who are good, who can play, who are worth it. I know you hate Tooney, but, you know, to come out of that with a starting guard in the fourth round, whatever it was, like, he did well with that. So I think mostly he still does well with his personnel decisions. It's something creeping in where he just wants to deal with people that he likes, and he's not going to deal with people that he doesn't. He's going to bury his enemies and take care of his friends. And at the end of the day, is that the best way to do business?
So I'll tell you what, let's keep the personnel decisions to just defense. Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, Malcolm Butler. I mean, it feels like in all three cases, right? Jones was Arizona, see you later. Collins was Cleveland, see you later. Butler wasn't going to bench your ass in the Super Bowl. Like, you know, I mean, I have a hard time living with any of those.
Meanwhile, guys he liked, Randy Moss, he hand-delivered him back to Minnesota, according to Jay Glazer. Jimmy Garoppolo, he loved, took care of him, kept him out of Cleveland, sent him to San Francisco to John Lynch, who Bill has a really good relationship with. Takes care of the guys that he likes, doesn't the ones that he doesn't, which is a human emotion. But again, that's bad business.
Sure it is, yeah. But I also think that, you know, if he did have personal feelings towards Jones, Collins, and Butler, negative ones, and I'm focusing on that part of it now, I mean, what were you missing in this game? You didn't have a pass rush, your linebacker sucked, and you couldn't cover. I mean, I look at those three guys and say, if you still had them, you'd have won this game.
Jack in Los Angeles on the Chandler Jones trade. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, Doug, I think whenever you criticize about the Garoppolo trade, I agree 100% in the sense that they didn't shop around. But you always, always, always forget Chandler Jones was a free agent going into his free agent season. I know you don't believe in the cap, but all teams have a budget. And they weren't going to pay him, period. Arizona guaranteed him $53 million the year going into his free agency season. And I think the contract was worth like $83 million, $84 million, the highest pass rusher in the NFL. The Patriots were not going to pay him.
So let me ask you, Jack.
Return of Cooper, Tooney, or whatever, those are cheap guys. Well, Cooper wasn't, but those are cheap guys that are going to be on the roster. That makes a huge deal. I remember Bill Barnwell did a big thing saying he was shocked that the Patriots got that much for Chandler Jones. So the fact that he was a free agent, oh, and by the way, they won the Super Bowl that year without him. So I'm
okay,
just
listen,
that's
Jack,
not
Jack,
a bad
Jack,
trade
Jack,
like
Jack.
You guys make it out to be.
If you were listening before, I'm telling you, I'm not debating whether they won or lost the trade. I think they did okay with the trade, like the actual return. I'm sort of with you. What I'm focusing on is that Bill didn't call anybody else. You don't find that unusual?
I agreed. I just said that. But you said they lost the Chandler Jones trade. You and Matt said it 10 minutes ago. You go, they lost that trade.
Well,
you know,
no,
Matt, I realize, it hates Joe Tooney, but I'll go by Greg Bedard, you know, says that he's a decent guard. So
He also said Kyle Van Noy was
trade,
good.
Which is what you guys said.
Okay, I don't think they necessarily...
That was likely me. Yeah, I mean, I think in retrospect you can question that and say, you know, a guy that had 17 sacks last year and 11 the year before, you don't need a player like that.
Okay, so all the money that he got, wouldn't you say Chandler Jones has been worth it?
Yes.
How many sacks has he had since he's gone out to Los Angeles? Since Arizona, does he have like?
It's 28.
That's what that costs. That's what those guys cost.
Yeah.
You want someone who racks up 17 and a half sacks? You have to pay that individual. So we can make the whole debate whether the Pats should have been that team. If you have that player, you probably win that game.
But to Jack's point, too, like, okay, so at that point, they weren't going to keep him because he was a free agent. Because at that time, we all thought, well, that's because they have to pay Collins and Hightower.
Darrell Revis.
Yeah.
What we were...
You know? And most of these guys are gone. And granted, they've re-upped Hightower, and he's here still, thankfully. But
that's it.
That's it.
No, we talked about it. You know, you had Revis coming up, and Kraft said it. Look, we can't sign everybody. We got three young players that we have to take care of. And they didn't take care of any
of
them. Except for one. They took care of one of the three. To me, winning and losing the trade is different. What I'm focusing on is Bill didn't call anybody. He just picked up the phone to Arizona, and that was it. which I just find unusual.
Well, and again, ultimately what you're getting at is that you, if you're not calling people, you are not getting the best talent you could possibly get or the best asset you could possibly get. And so over time, that's going to catch up with you. It caught up with them in 2011 when they lost. It caught up with them in 2017 when they lost. Like, ultimately, they didn't have players on defense because of decisions that were made for any number of reasons. And in the trade department, if it's because you're not shopping guys, because you're just trying to make it based on your personal feelings for them, that is a huge injustice.
Okay, we got a Red Sox call from the most unusual of places. Scott in Wrentham wants to talk about J.D. Martinez. Scott?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Good stuff today. Love all the football talk this week. This is for the baseball guy, Matt. So, hey, Matt, do you get Men's Health magazine?
No, I don't, but I've seen the cover online.
Okay, there's a cover on Men's Health magazine.
I crave those.
Okay, so in the three brief J.D. Martinez shots of video I've seen, he wears the big, heavy, baggy shirts. Do you know who wears big, baggy, heavy shirts?
Tell me.
Guys that are chubby underneath. I want the realistic over and under what J.D. Jello Boobies Martinez is going to hit. 18, 19, 20. What do you think it is?
I think he gets about 28, 29 home runs. That's my guess. Jelly Jugs.
Let me ask you this as well. Did you say logged on to Twitter here at this particular location at the TD Garden?
So what people need to understand is about our computer system at our regular office. When you get in, you log in, and all your settings are saved on there. Then you log off, or it logs off automatically.
Hold on 1 second. They're showing the Giancarlo Stanton stuff on the simulcast.
Well, I mean, look at this guy. Seriously. Murray, look at the line from basically his Adam's apple down to his belly button.
Yeah, he's an impressive specimen.
That is like the Mississippi River running right down the middle of his body. That Snake River Canyon, yes, crying out loud.
The Happy Trail, I believe.
My gosh. what a stud that guy is. But to get back to the computer system, in our office, you log in, it saves all your settings, and then when you leave, it logs you out. Okay, no problem. Here at the Garden Studio, if you leave without logging off, the next person who comes in has access to anything you've opened on the web. So I was the last person in here last week and did not close my Twitter account. The first person in here today,
oh, brother,
was Zoe, who stumbled upon my Twitter account wide open. What do you think he did?
Tell me.
Zoe decided to start tweeting stuff out under my Twitter handle this morning just for the hell of it. So I came in and my wife asked me, what's all this stuff here? Well, forgive me because I've lost my voice, as you know. But what is all this stuff you're tweeting? For example, this morning, one of the tweets, I like to count toothpicks and popsicle sticks in my free time.
Just out of nowhere.
Yeah. Then, has anyone seen my baseball? And lastly, I'm in the mood for a nice sandwich, .. Need help, .. Go. So once my wife said to me, someone's hacked your Twitter account, I looked at the tweets and I said, tweeted out immediately, someone has hacked my Twitter account. Zoe, are you there? And Zoe stopped with the nonsense. So Zoe is like a 2-year-old. If you leave the car keys in the kitchen, he's going to grab them and go drive the car.
You're lucky this wasn't worse.
Oh, yeah, no question. Yeah, no question.
All right, back to the phones. Chris in Rockland. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Listen, that whole Tlaib Sherman thing, forget, can you imagine if you're Tom Brady and you got Sherman on one side, you got Tlaib on the other, what do you want to do? Do you want to listen to Sherman or do you just want to bring in extra security so your chain doesn't get stolen?
Yeah, you need duct tape is what you need.
Yeah, either guy I would like on a short-term deal, obviously. But Jimmy G, that trade was terrible. It was awful. And guys, I got a quick one for you. I got a hold of you guys last time and I got cut off from a conference. My question was, if Belichick got Lawrence Taylor today, would he cut him, keep him, trade him, or would he have to be able to put up with his extracurricular activities, if you know what I'm saying, off the field?
I'm going to cut you off, because would Bill Stanford Lawrence Taylor today as a head coach?
Yeah, as long as Lawrence Taylor was yes sir, no sir on the field and anything pertaining to football, yeah. And I think what the issues were with Butler and with Jamie Collins, or anything you read about Collins, Collins was freelancing too much. And Malcolm Butler went off the reservation when, after the loss in Miami, he's taken to Twitter and putting up the Pro Football Focus grades, questioning how the coaches handled the game. They went off the reservation.
Oh, that was a great one. I forgot that one. That was a good one. The Pro Football Focus grades on...
And bang, it was deleted within like a minute,
that
right?
That was great. So one thing, because I hear this all the time, Bill coached Lawrence Taylor and didn't have a problem with him.
Yeah, but he was the consummate professional with dealing with the coaches.
No, but that's not what I'm going to say. Bill was a coordinator. That's a whole different dynamic. As a D coordinator, you're not responsible for the overall tenor of the locker room and the comportment of the players, and that's a head coach's problem. You just want guys to rush off the edge.
No, you're the good cop in that scenario.
Well, not only that, but it's not your job to police the locker room as a coordinator. It's to call the defense. The head coach is in charge of all that other crap.
Dealing with the hookers and cocaine.
Yeah, that's it. They don't. When Lawrence Taylor gets busted with the hookers and the cocaine, they don't call the D coordinator. They call Parcells. So Parcells could handle it. Could Belichick as a head coach handle it? I think it's a fair question. I don't know.
Yes, I say yes. Ultimately, he would tolerate him because Taylor was that good. And on game day, he knew what he was going to get. I think you run into problems with Bill if on game day he doesn't know what he's going to get. And that, so Taylor, I would say yes. Collins, he didn't know what he was going to get on game day, gone.
Jeff in Plymouth, Tlaib or Sherman?
Tlaib all day long. And I look at it like this. First, let me make a point. You know, DeMarco, you know, you're right, Felger, when you talk about running backs. DeMarco Murray was cut today. So as far as Lewis goes, these guys are going to start coming a dime a dozen, and to overpay is ridiculous. So you're right there. As far as Tlaib goes, look, Denver's going to play ball and try to string this out. But you have two compensatory picks this year. So if you're to get Tlaib for one of those compensatory picks, do you think that that's better than getting some guy in college? Because I think that that's the way you look at it.
Of course it is, but I'm sorry to cut you off. I don't think you need to spend that much to get Tlaib. I don't think it's – those comp picks are in the third, fourth round?
Right, yeah.
So I just don't think it's going to cost that much. And, yes, he brings you more than a rookie. But they need to do both. They need to get a guy like Sherman or Tlaib in here, and they need to use their draft picks because they haven't made enough draft picks the last couple of years. They need to do both. Sean in Connecticut, Sherman or Tlaib?
Guys, 2012 AFC Championship game. Tlaib melted. Came off at the end of the second quarter. I was there. Didn't even look hurt. He's not a competitor. Go back, watch the tape. We got to go with Sherman all the way.
Okay, I said before, I think he's a competitor. I think there's some occasions where he overheats. And that's what I mentioned. There were a couple instances there with the Patriots. And I didn't even think one in Denver where he didn't tap out, but he sort of took himself out, if you will. Because I think he gets a little amped. It's a little nuts, as you've been saying all day.
I mean, the 2012 one, he got hurt. I remember it was a hamstring, I think. And he never went back on the field. The one the following year is when Welker took him out.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that Bill loved that. So, you know, to me, like I always felt with Tlaib, maybe it was more of a physical thing that he could get hurt more easily because he is thin. I mean, he's a rail. But that body is also why he's as good as he is at that position, man. He's a badass.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blend force drum!
We're gonna run him right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? Only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats
Jim.
Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
No one. First up, if you've been listening over the duration of the show today, you know Maz's voice has gone from scratchy to full-on Kathleen Turner in the last couple of hours. And, of course, because of this, he gets called out by a listener.
I saw her naked once.
Really?
Just pay sold on the
show.
On.
Yeah. The Graduate.
Maybe.
It was a play.
Yeah.
Go on, Jimmy.
Sorry.
Just pay Solder and move on.
Jesse in the car. Go ahead. What do you got, sir?
Maz, you sound like absolute crap today.
he doesn't sound good. You okay, pal?
Yeah, it's been worse. Believe me, last year, if you remember, I couldn't even put a sentence together. See, but Wallach sounds like he's dying all the time. That's a loss.
Hi, how are you? Dwight Howard's a putz. I can't even do my Jim Rome voice today. It's called trolling. Only if Felger goes home, too.
Excellent.
You're well on your way to sounding like that for tomorrow.
I'm getting there for sure.
No, we had you, I can't remember. And may her first child be a masculine child.
Oh, yeah.
Want to congratulate you on the day of your daughter's wedding.
I'll make you an offer you can't refuse.
All right. And also, we had a strong case of when hosts aren't listening from earlier today.
Okay, so, I want to hear this. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Wait till you hear it. Go ahead.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
I just don't think they have anywhere else to go. Again, Garcia had blood clots in his lungs and he lost 40 pounds. He was underweight to begin with. And then on top of it all, like, there's nobody. What are they going to do? Go out on the free agent market and sign someone else? They're going to draft another left tackle this year? Like, I suppose they could take someone in the first round and draft him. It's certainly a possibility at the end of the first. How do you feel about that proposition if you're Tom Brady?
Yeah, how do you think Brady feels? Oh, you're giving me a left tackle now. You're giving me a kid. Nice.
No question. I mean, Brady would be agitated. I thought I just said that.
No, what?
About the Brady part.
I don't know, you said if you were Brady.
Oh, my God. I think Brady would lose his mind.
I thought you said, well, whatever.
This has been how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
That might be my favorite of all of them ever.
That was
literally the next sentence.
That is like right in your face. Yeah.
Typically, you get a couple of beats.
No.
Maybe 10, 15 seconds.
That is blatantly.
Bang.
Epically. Right in your face. I'm not listening.
No question. No, I do it all the time, please.
No, but I swear to God, I thought you said something else.
How do you feel about that proposition if you're Tom Brady?
Yeah, how do you think Brady feels?
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.